Thank you, ladies, for the beautiful music again. And we are so blessed to have people who can sing and play instruments and just bless our church and our lives on a weekly basis. And I really appreciate that, ladies. A couple years ago, by the way, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to the book of James with me, if you would. A couple years ago, I was experiencing a problem in my life. It had gotten to the point where it was becoming very frustrating. I would go out in the morning and get in my truck, which, by the way, I really like my truck a lot. And I know it's old and it's ugly. Amen. Okay. But I like it. Okay. So I'd go out and get in my truck in the morning, and I would put the key in the ignition, and I would turn the switch, and nothing would happen. And I'm like, ch-ch-ch-ch. You know, and you think, obviously, because we're really intelligent people, the faster you turn it the more times, the more likely it's going to work, right? So you're like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, you know, and it doesn't do anything. And I was like, I was perplexed. I was like, what's wrong with this thing? And of course, if you're a pastor and one of your men is a mechanic, a good mechanic, then you're going to call him and say, hey, Brother Brad, what's wrong with this thing? It don't start, you know. And of course, you're going to do that. And I was relaying the message to him as to what was going on over on my end of things. And he's got to think. He said, let me think on that, and so on and so forth. So the crazy thing was, though, it wouldn't start in the morning. But I could go out like in the afternoon, put the key in, and just start right up. And I was like, there's something wrong with this thing. So Brad got back with me and said, you know, it sounds like to me, and as a mechanic not looking at it, I'm thinking it's either got to be the starter, you got a battery problem. And he went through a whole list of possible issues that I could be having with my truck that I love very much. So don't shoot it, you know, we can fix it, you know, just whatever. And so he finally came to the conclusion, I'm thinking it's the starter. But then I got to thinking more about it, and I was like, well, hang on, Brad, I'm going to throw these things at you to help you think through this with me, because you know what you're talking about and I don't, so just hang with me here. In the morning, it won't start. In the afternoon, it starts fine. And then one morning, I got really smart. I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to park my truck in the garage. Now, I don't get that privilege very much because my wife happens to be a garage hog, if you know what that is, and she takes the whole thing up with her van, and anyway, so I'm off limits. I got to park out there with the unessentials, non-essentials out there in the garage under the trees and all those things. But I said, I'm going to park in the garage, and sure enough, the next morning, I went out there, it started right up, and I said, Brad, here's the deal. Whatever's wrong with my truck, it has something to do with it being out in the cold weather. When it's out in the cold weather, it won't start. When it warms up, you know, the sun comes up, it warms up outside, it starts. It's got something to do with the cold weather. And Brad's like, okay, let me think. No, he don't really talk like that, but let me think about that some. He got back with me later. He said, a long time ago when I first became a mechanic, I remember somebody telling me they were having almost the exact same problem. And what it was this little, it's called a relay, but it looks like a big fuse right up in the front under the hood. And he said, here's somehow you can check to see if that's what it is. So anyway, I go out, and I've already, by the way, ordered my starter offline, and it was over $200, a lot of money. It's actually already been delivered, and I was just really waiting for the opportunity to install that thing when I had somebody knew what they were doing to help me. And so I was getting ready to put my starter in. I'd already gone through all of that. It's a lot of money. And he said, check that. He said, here's how you check it. Go outside. Unplug, find the one that's for starter, first of all. It looks like a fuse, but it's like this big. He said, find the one that's for starter in that little box where the fuses are. Unplug it, and then get another one just like it, probably the horn. That was the one he told me to take. And plug that one into the starter hole, and plug the one that was in the starter hole, plug it in the horn hole. I'm like, I got this. I'm a mechanic. You know, by now I'm a trained mechanic. I can go to the dealership and get a job, you know. So I go outside, and I take the starter relay out, and I take the horn, and I switch them. And, you know, I got in my truck, and put the key in, like, and I was like, yes, that was it. Didn't have to pay for the starter. I'm talking about a relay's like a few dollars. And I never changed the relay, by the way. It's still in the starter hole. And when it's cold outside, and I drive by, if I don't catch it, it goes, it sounds really weird, you know, just so you know. That's what that sound is. It's my relay for my horn. It makes a weird noise. But anyway. It was very important to me in that situation that I figure out exactly what it was that I needed. I'm out buying starters, about to invest in a battery possibly even, and then who knows what else after that, when really I didn't even need that. This morning in the book of James, we are going to enter into a passage of Scripture that I have entitled, and you can remember this, what you really need. What you really need. If you can just quickly go back in reverse for just a moment with me to last week. We entered into the book of James in a study, and he started out with these words. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we talked about patience meant perseverance. And James says to us, hey, when these trials come, approach them with an attitude that's joyous, because you know that God's got a purpose in what you're about to experience. And he's trying to, if you were listening really carefully last week, he's trying to help you. That was my word I said like 20 times. He's trying to help you. You say, man, this don't feel like it's helping. I mean, my truck won't start. I'm out here and it's cold, and I'm supposed to be somebody somewhere 5 minutes ago. It's cold. I'm struggling. The truck won't start. God is trying to help you. If you got that last week, say, I got it. This week, though, we kind of chopped it off last week because we ran out of time. I don't know why that happens in church, but it does often. We chopped it off. Here's what James says as we go on in that passage of Scripture and continue to read. You remember verse 4 told us that let patience or perseverance have its perfect work or its perfecting work in us, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. As that was the idea, that was the meaning of the words. God wants to build you into a complete Christian who's in all ways complete with all graces, lacking nothing in your spiritual life. That's what God wants to make you into. And by the way, that is a process. If you understand that's a process, say amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. I find out all the time that there's something else I need in my life to make me a better Christian. All the time I find a weak point, or I find a place where I come up short, or I find a situation where, man, I thought I was better off than that. And then I look at myself and what I did or what I said or what I thought or how I acted, and I'm like, I am ashamed of myself. You ever do that? Anybody? Yeah. He says, but the goal is that you be perfect and entire, complete, lacking nothing in your spiritual life. That's how God's trying to help you. Now, with all of that being said, verse number 5 comes along. Remember, we're talking about what you really need. He says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 tells us, let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James tells us. What you really need, and James tells us right here, is wisdom. Now you hear that and you think, hang on a second now, God. I really need my truck to start. I really need these people to get off my back. I really need a few hundred more dollars this month so we can get through the rest of the month. I really need you to take this ache that I'm experiencing away. I really need you to help me get rid of these neighbors or these people at work that I'm not getting along with and are frustrating me. I really need you to make my son clean his room. Right? God said, no, that's not what you need. By the way, I was picking on Timothy. He hadn't done too bad recently. We made a pact recently. If I go by his room and I look in, and it looks like most 14-year-old boys' rooms, he has to vacuum the stairs. Now, how many of you understand what that's not a very pleasant job? I said, so if there's stuff on your floor in your room when I walk by and look at it, you got to vacuum the stairs. And he agreed. And our stairs are real clean. But his room is becoming cleaner as well. That was good stuff. Amen, Timothy? Amen. He's going to make a good husband one day, ladies. Get ready. I really need, God, for you just to take this difficulty out of my life so I don't have to deal with it anymore, so that I can just get back into smooth sailing. That's what I need, God. And God says, no, that's not what you need. You need wisdom. Now, when we begin to look at this, we have to stop and define a couple of things to understand truly and fully what God is telling us here. To begin with, we really need to understand what God is saying here as he says to us this word, wisdom. Why wisdom, you might ask? Why is it the thing that I need in my spiritual life right now in this difficulty, facing this trial, experiencing what I'm experiencing, feeling what I'm feeling, needing all the things that I think I need? Why is wisdom the thing that God says you should come to me and ask for? And here's the answer. Warren Wiersbe defines wisdom in this verse this way, and I think he's right on, so listen carefully. He says that this wisdom is the ability not to waste the opportunity that God has sent our way. It deals with having the knowledge and understanding to see what is happening and see how God wants you to respond. Let me even further put that in my words so everybody can get a hold of it, because I'm not as smart as he is. Listen to my definition. It's really twofold. The idea of wisdom here is, first, being able to understand the will of God in a situation, understand God's will, and then secondly, it's the ability to act in obedience to God's will in any given situation. In other words, the wisdom that he's talking about here is simply God making it so that we can respond to him the way he wants us to, and we can understand what it is that he's doing in our lives at the time so that he can shape and mold us and complete us as believers. He gives this illustration, and I thought it fit very well, so follow me here. One of his associates, a lady that was actually a secretary for him, was going through a great trial in her life. She had had a stroke, and her husband had gone blind. He was then taken to the hospital where they were sure he would die. Wiersbe goes on to say that he saw this woman in church one Sunday and assured her as she was passing, he said, "I want you to know that I'm praying for you." She looked at him and kind of startled him and said, asked this question, "What are you asking God to do for me right now?" He responded, "I'm asking God to help you and to strengthen you during this time." Her response was this, "I appreciate that, but please pray about one more thing. Pray that I'll have the wisdom not to waste all of this. Pray that I will have the wisdom not to waste all of this." Wisdom here, as James presents it to us in our lives, in our struggles, in our difficulties, this wisdom is what God offers to us if we will come and ask him for it to help enlighten us to understand how this is going to play out as we see it before our very eyes. And then the ability to take in whatever God's trying to teach us, whatever he's trying to apply to our lives, for us to grow through this difficulty. And anything less than that will truly be a waste. You went through it. You struggled through, but you wasted the opportunity. It'd be kind of like going to school for a whole semester and fighting through a class, going every single day, doing the homework every night, and failing the class. That's the picture that's being drawn here for us by Wiersbe as he tries to take these words and shape them in such a way to help us understand what God's saying to us this morning. So first, he says, when you find yourself going through these difficulties, here's what you need. You need wisdom from God. Before I move on, I want to teach you something real quick, so hang with me. I'm going to take my paper because I'll forget. Hang with me. I feel like I can talk to you down here. I feel like I'm talking at you up there, so hang with me here. There's three words that you'll find often in the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, and every Christian needs to grab these words and understand them because they have a direct bearing on our spiritual lives. If you're awake, say, "I'm awake." Hang here now. This is important. The three words are wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those are three very important words for the Christian, and they help us see how God's word and his guidance and his wisdom plays out in our lives. First of all, the word knowledge. This is my definition of it, and understand that, but I'm trying to make it so I can understand it, so I can tell you how to understand it. If you got me, say amen. Okay, here's knowledge. It describes what you can learn, and it relates to learning from God. It describes what you can learn. So in other words, knowledge. That's me, you know, that's Austin saying, you know what, as a good Christian, Pastor Tim said, I need to do some devotion, I need to read my Bible, so I'm going to read my Bible every day. So Austin gets up every morning, reads his Bible, and spends some time thinking about what he read, and God is implanting into Austin's heart. Every time he does that, God is implanting into his heart a knowledge of the Word of God. He understands the Word of God now. He knows it. If I said David and Goliath, I'm not going to make him say because he might mess up. You know, it'd be terrible. It'd be embarrassing. You know, don't do that. If I said David and he would say Goliath. If I said Jonah, he would say the well. And so on and so forth. And ultimately, he's going to come to the place where he possesses a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. And by the way, that'll help you grow in your Christian life is to just begin by storing that knowledge. Here's the second word. Understanding. This is a step beyond that, so follow me, all right? So we're getting into the real deal. This is the big boy britches here at this point. We're getting to the real deal. Understanding is the God-given ability to take knowledge and apply it so as to understand the situation at hand. It's discernment. That's what understanding is. So I learned it, and now I understand it. I know what it means. Because I read my Bible every day, and because I thought about it, and because I stored it in my mind, and I've possessed now that knowledge that I gained from God's Word, now I have the ability to discern or to understand. I can understand what's going on. I can see truth. I can see error. I can decipher between good and bad. I can decipher between right and wrong. I can even decipher between good and best now. Because I have understanding. If you're with me, say I'm with you. These words are important. You need to know them. Because this process should be taking place right now in your spiritual life. Commercial break. It should be taking place right now in your spiritual life. Knowledge, understanding. Knowledge, taking a whole bunch of stuff in. Understanding, being able to use a whole bunch of stuff now and see clearly based upon the knowledge that I possess. If you got it, say I got it. Wisdom. Wisdom is the God-given ability to know what God has said, understand how it applies, and then the ability and the insight to use what you know from God's Word to accomplish His will for His glory. Knowledge, I'm putting stuff in. Just taking it in. Taking in the right stuff. By the way, if you're taking the wrong stuff, you're going to have the bad stuff. Taking the good stuff, the right stuff, you're going to have the good stuff. That's up to you. You can either pack stuff in your mind that's useless and it's going to hurt you and drag you down in your spiritual life. By the way, for a young person, I'm looking at them intentionally because in our world today, for a young person, there's so many things that they can pile into their mind that's useless. I mean, how good you are at PUBG Mobile, and I've picked on that because I've heard it a bunch of times recently. How good you are at some video game or some internet game where you go around and bust in houses and shoot people, it's not going to help you one iota in your spiritual life. If that's true, say amen. It's true. By the way, that don't mean you can't play games. But that should not be where the focus, the majority of your focus and your attention is because it didn't help you. But if you get up in the morning and read God's Word, you get a study Bible and begin to understand, read and say, man, what is that talking about? You begin to understand the words of the scriptures and things of that nature. You're building knowledge, which by God's grace can lead to understanding. And then God can give you wisdom. And you're well on your way to becoming exactly who God called you to be. But you got to be taking in the right stuff for that to happen. If I said that clearly, say, I got it. Did y'all get it? You got it. So take in the Word of God. That's the beginning point. Let God teach you and direct you. That's wisdom. Now, let's roll on. If you're with me, say I'm with you. All right, we're going somewhere now. I'm sorry. That was a commercial break. Hang on. You hate commercials. I know it's terrible. It messed up the whole show, but we had to do that real quick because that's where we make all our money. Amen. I mean, that's where we make the money. So hang with me here for a moment. All right. So wisdom then. Wisdom here, as this presented, is God's enabling ability to help you understand His will in a situation and then ultimately how He's going to work that to your good through this situation. That's what this wisdom is. And that's so important because, again, these Christians are being persecuted. They are suffering and they're struggling. A picture of every trial and difficulty that you will face as a believer in this world. As you struggle through, here's what you need. You need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. Secondly, not only does he tell us what we really need, but secondly, he tells us who to ask for what we need. He says, if any of you, in verse number 5, lack wisdom, that's the thing we need, let him ask of who? Let him ask of, thank you. I was like, y'all asleep? Y'all got a different translation than me? I was like, what'd y'all do, you know? Let him ask of God. That's who you go to ask for this stuff that you need. Go to God. Now listen to what he says about God here. I'm excited about this, and I want you to be. So follow me here. Let's get this thing going, you know. Come on. Let's go. Here we go. Let him ask of God. And here's what he says about God. He says, who giveth to all men liberally. That's the only time ever in the Bible that we see God as a liberal, is when he's given, by the way. Who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. The Bible tells us here not only what we need, but he says, here's where you go to get what you need, and who it is that can give it to you, and it's God. And here's a couple things about this, and I'm going to move on. First of all, he makes it clear to us that God possesses the wisdom that you need. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 2:6. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Daniel said it as well. In the book of Daniel 2:13, he says, God's wisdom, which was granted and which promoted Daniel to declare, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Clearly stated in Scripture that God is the one who possesses the wisdom. So who's got what you need? Thank you. Y'all are with me. And what is it that you need? All right, let's roll on then. He has it. And tangled in the middle of that, I have to say this. He has it. And he knows. As a new Christian, I remember learning some words in Bible college that were new to me. They talked about the attributes of God. And I'm telling you, that shaped me as a Christian because I didn't understand that stuff at that time. The attributes of God. And here's what a couple of them are. They talked about a God who was, first of all, omnipotent. And that's like, oh, that sounds like a big word. I'll sound so smart when I go back to Mississippi and use that word, our omnipotent God. What does that mean? Well, it meant that he's all powerful. Man, God's, and by the way, he explained it really well, better than I did. He explained it that God has the power to do any and everything. Then he talked about God being omnipresent, which means that he's everywhere all the time. And as a new Christian, I'm like, man, God is all powerful. He's got my back. Whatever I need, he's there. He can do it all. He can do all things. And then on top of that, he's always there. I was like, that's awesome. If you think that's awesome, say amen. And by the way, that is the God that we're talking about this morning. And hopefully that's the God that you know today. A God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, always there with you. He will never let you be out of his eye and out of his reach. That's who our God is. But there was one more word that they shared with us. I thought it was awesome. Omniscience. Omniscience. That means that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And then he broke it down for me a little bit. Like, break it down for me, fellas. You know, you remember that back in the 80s when y'all were listening to that, music? Omniscience. And here's what it meant. That God knows. Period. God knows. I began to ponder that as a new Christian, and some of y'all need to ponder this with me today. That means God knows everything about you, everything about your situation that you're going through right now, everything about the things that you're going to face this week, everything about the decisions that you're going to make this week. He knows the end result of every decision and choice that you will make in this life. He knows.
And then let's go a step further, because it's going to be hard to hold all this in your head down. Not only does he know all of that, but he also knows what will happen if you take option A. And he knows what will happen if you take option B. And he knows where option A leads and who you're going to meet there and who you're going to impact there and how God's going to use your life there. And option B, and he knows who you're going to meet there and what you're going to do there and what's going to happen in your life there. God knows all of those things entirely, completely, all together, all is one, present right now, because he is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows. Now follow me. That means that when I come up with my little piddly, you know, I think, Clark, I think this is like the biggest problem in the world. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. This is the biggest thing that's ever happened in the world. And God's like, I got this. I know all about that. I understand every little aspect of that. And then here I'm in a decision, you know. It's like when you're in Bible college and you're a preacher and you're not married yet and you're looking for a girlfriend and you're like, any, meeny, miny, mo. Which one is the one I'm putting? You know, I'm just like, which one is for me? And you're like, trying to figure it out. Listen, God knows. He knows. Or you're in a situation, it's like, oh God, what do I do here? Guess what? He knows. He knows. And you're trying to make a decision in life. Where am I going to go to college? What am I going to do as a career the rest of my days? Who am I going to be married to for the rest of my life? And I'm telling you, that's a serious decision. He knows. He knows. Which means for us as believers that if we will keep our ear open and our heart in tune and listen and receive, then we could truly go through this life and never be steered the wrong direction. Never. If we're tuned in. That's it. Because he can see, Brandon, I don't even understand this, but he can see the end result of decisions I didn't even make. And he knows what's going to happen if you do what you're thinking about. Because he knows. That's the God who, James tells us here, when you're going through struggles in this life and things get difficult, get a little hard on you, that's the God you're supposed to come to and say, God, I need your help here because I'm not sure what to do. It's the God who knows. Now, if you got that, say, I got it. That's the God that we're told here that we're to come to in these situations when we're really not 100% sure what we are to do. He's the God, James tells us, who knows. Listen to this. Little Greek here, listen. The word that we find here, ask, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This word ask uses the present imperative tense in the Greek language, which commands the reader to continually, prayerfully make this request of God whenever he or she senses their need. Whenever he or she senses their need. Now, I probably could stop and come back down there and talk for a while, but I know the clock's going to catch up with me, so I won't. But I want you to hear this. That means that we truly, as believers, should be in the habit of asking our God all the time for his direction and his wisdom in our lives. Don't make your decisions and your choices leaving God out of them as a believer, because he knows full well what he wants you to do and what will work best for you. We had a little life lessons, the first one ever at Church Friday, and what that simply is we get all the kids, homeschool kids, whoever wants to come out, and we try to teach them some little lessons about life, whatever they are. And this week, I decided to start off with a bang. So I said, okay, guys, we're going to talk about tools. Miss Jeanette was doing etiquette. I don't even know what that is, but that's what they were doing, okay, with the girls. And it has something to do with where to put your fork and which fork to use. Guys, in case you didn't know that, that's what that means. And how to hold the fork and not to burp at the table, okay? Just so you know, that's the things that you learn in etiquette. By the way, I did not have that class when I was a kid, and I've struggled my whole life without it.
and got fussed at many times by my wife and my stepmom, just so you know. But the tools for eating is what I termed that is in my mind. So I said, okay, I'm going to talk about the tools over here. Some tools over here. So I started out the class, and I had a sledgehammer on the table, and I had a butter knife on the table. And I got me a nail and a board, and I said, guys, if you are going to drive this nail in the board, and I got the butter knife, and I tried to drive it, and it don't work so well. I was like, it's the wrong tool for the job. And then I went over here, and Miss Heather, and you were there, I think, and I got me some loaf bread and an onion, because that's all I could find in the refrigerator, right? Okay, that's, and I was like, I'll make an onion sandwich, and I'm going to do it with a sledgehammer, all right? And I was like, you know, and I busted onion everywhere, and everything flew, and it was awesome. The wrong tool for the job, it don't work so well. Do you realize this morning that if you don't do what I have just explained to you here in relation to asking God for His wisdom and His direction in your life, you will end up being a butter knife driving nails or a sledgehammer making onion sandwiches, and neither one of those work out so well. God knows you. He knows. By the way, God knows you can put whatever in after that you want to. He knows you. He knows how He made you, how we studied Wednesday night, how He intricately formed you in your mother's womb before you were even born. He knows you. And He knows how He made you. And He knows what abilities and talents and skills that He built into you. And He knows what you can do best with those things. So you could come ask me, Pastor Tim, what do you think I should do with my life? Or you could just say, God, I need your wisdom, because I don't know. I don't know. You could ask your mom, but your mom don't know necessarily. You could ask your pastor, and he don't know. I give you some ideas, give you some good ideas, but I don't know. But God does. And James says, listen, just learn to ask Him. And not one time, in one situation. But the word means to be in the habit of continually asking Him every single day of your life. If that's good, say that's good. And that's what God wants you to know. First, and I'm going to move on. I'm hurrying. First, we see here as James tries to give some insight into the situation that these believers are facing and into the situations that we as believers will face in our lives on a consistent basis. First, what you need God's wisdom to know His will and how to work all this to your good. That's the two things we're looking for. Secondly, we need to know where to go get it. It's from God. He's the one who possesses it, and He's the one that hands it out readily, waiting for you to come ask. And then thirdly, he says, how to ask for what you need. We learn here that it's more than just asking. God wants us to ask, but He wants us to know how to ask. Verse 6. He told us, you lack it, you need it, God's got it, and He'll give it to you. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you write notes or write in your Bible, you need to take that word wavering and write out beside it. Here's the word we would use probably if we were going to translate that. We would put, and this is our word, we would put wishy-washy, wishy-washy. In other words, he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed to and forth. By the way, that's the picture of the wave. Back and forth, all day long. Accomplishing really nothing, but there it is. Boom, boom, back and forth. He says, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed to and forth. And then he says in verse number 7, and this is so important. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God says, I got the wisdom. You need the wisdom. I would love to give it to you. But if you're going to come ask for it, you have to come in faith. In faith. What does faith mean here? A couple of ideas. Number one, it carries the idea that I have full confidence in the God that I'm asking for this. In other words, what Pastor Tim just explained in church about how God knows He's all-powerful, He's everywhere present, I understand that's the God I'm talking to, so I have full confidence in that God, first of all. That's where it starts. But it goes beyond that, because I really, most of you I know pretty well, and I don't know of anybody in here, actually, that would not agree with everything I just said a while ago about God and His knowledge of us and His power. I don't know anybody to disagree with that. But it goes further than that, because here's the other side of it. When it says to ask in faith, nothing wavering, the other side is this, that you are fully committed to God's direction and His will as you ask. I'm almost done, so hang with me here. We're going to get to go home and eat some pot roast and some mashed potatoes. Amen. So just hang here just a moment. The idea is, I believe God, I trust God, I believe He's God. But on the other side, in my heart, I am 100% committed to doing whatever God wants me to do with my life. I'm committed to it. And I'm going to use an overly simplified illustration to help you understand that. Back to my college days. When I first got to college, I picked up a girlfriend, because that's what you do, you know, because you got to have a girlfriend. You know, it's like, I have a girlfriend. But it was the wrong one. Okay, just so you know, it was the wrong one. Didn't work out so well. How many of y'all know what that means? You understand? Yeah. It didn't work out so well. But then, after I broke up with her, I said, God, I don't want to play that game. I already played it. When I was lost, I played that game all the time. And that didn't accomplish anything. All that did is get everybody upset, break your heart. Somebody said every time you fall in love with somebody, you give them a little bit of your heart. And like after a while, you don't have any heart left to give. You know. And I was like, I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds good. I'm like, I don't want to go there. I'm going to avoid that. I really won't be serious about my relationship with God. So I approached this whole situation different than I ever had before. I said, God, I really, and I meant this. I meant this with all my heart. God, I really want you to show me your will in this area of my life. And whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. Now, that means a few things. Because what if she's ugly? You know, I mean, just talk about everything. What if she's ugly? All right? I mean, we're serious here. I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And because I'm going to do whatever you want to do, as much as I possibly can, and I was a guy, and I was like 20 years old, but as much as I possibly can, I am going to stay out of it. And I'm going to let you reveal your will to me. Now, I said as much as I possibly could, Miss Jeanette, because that's hard for a 20-year-old guy who's handsome and all these pretty girls around. That's hard, but I was trying hard. Keep my mind on Jesus and follow Him and wait for Him to tell me what's up, okay? That's where I was at. And you know, that was not an easy task. But lo and behold, it was a while, and I was kind of like getting impatient, Clark. I was like, God, you know I'm going to graduate here for too long, and you know, and I'm not going to be around all these girls anymore, and I'm going to be struggling if they're not there. And I got to figure this out, God. Hurry up, you know. I had to wait. And do you know, lo and behold, God directed me to what was the most awesome young lady in that whole college, in that whole school. And I'm not just saying that. She's not even in here, so I can say what I want. I'm not kidding. He did. I didn't make it work out. I didn't, like, get some duct tape, Brandon, and try to stick it all together and make it happen. I didn't do that. We go to a missions meeting, getting ready to go. I was going to Haiti, and Stephanie planned to go to Haiti, and we were all meeting at Johnny Pike's house to pray about the missions trips and get information so we know what we were doing and everything. Lo and behold, I walk in and she's there, and we're all talking and praying about where we're going on a missions trip and getting ready for it. And you know, God kind of began to knit us together right there at that time. Now, it wasn't like sparks like bing, you know, and it all like just took off and we got married the next day. It wasn't like that or anything.
But that's where we really met. That's where we met. And that's where we began to kind of have some interaction with one another. And I was waiting. Remember, I was waiting. What was I doing? I was waiting. I waited. And the more I got to know about her, the more obvious it became to me that God was starting to answer that prayer that I've been asking him all that time. He began to reveal the things to her about her to me. Now listen, it wasn't like, let's go out on a date, let's be, will you love me, circle yes or no, and all those kind of things. It wasn't that at all. Instead, it was like, stand back and just wait and see what happens. You get to know her more, and the more I got to know her, the more I liked her. Now, a lot of times the opposite is true, guys. Hang on, listen for a minute. Sometimes the opposite is true. You know, you go in and you jump in head over heels, and then the more you get to know her, the more you're like, oh man, that was a mistake, right? That happens. But the more I got to know her, the more I liked her. And over a little bit of time, I started realizing, hey, this is what I've been praying for. God is answering my prayer. And here's why. And this is why I told the whole story. Here's why. Because I truly, in my heart, was 100% committed to doing whatever it was God revealed to me. That's what James means when he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because the man that wavers is like a wave. He comes splashing back and forth. He says, let not the wavy man think that he's going to receive anything from God. And by the way, in the context, any wisdom from God, any direction from God, any insight into the will of God for his life, he's not getting it. Because he's not committed to it. But here we go. I was. By the way, I hadn't done it. There's a lot of times in my life where I didn't do it that way. A lot of things, a lot of decisions. But when I did, God came through. God came through. What you need, wisdom. Who's got it? God. How you ask. He says you better learn to ask in faith. If any of you today lack wisdom, it's hard for us to admit that we don't know what to do. However, God tells us here that that's exactly what he wants us to do. We have to admit that we don't know. The most important time to make this confession, we find out, is when we are experiencing trials and hardships. And he directs us to cry out, I don't know what to do. And as we study through this book, we're going to learn that every little incident that comes into our lives is for a purpose. There's no accidents. There's no luck in the Christian life. It's all very intentional and handcrafted by our God, who wants us to accomplish his will. And he wants us to grow into maturity as believers. So today, ask him for what it is that you need. He's ready and he's willing and he's 100% able to supply your every need, he says, according to his riches and glory. And by the way, what you really need at this time in your life is God's wisdom. So do you find yourself between a rock and a hard place today? Has life thrown you a curveball and you just don't know exactly what to do? If so, you're in luck. This is exactly where God wants you to be. Now, learn to cry out to him. Maybe you struggle today with double-mindedness. And by the way, we all are guilty from time to time. And you say, I want to trust him, but I just can't. Then let's pray together today and ask God to rid your heart of doubt and fear so that you can pour, so that he can pour his wisdom into you. Maybe your struggle today is just coming to the place where you understand this God that we've described this morning. And if that's the case, listen, we can help there as well. God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. And he wants more than anything else for you to come to the place where you follow him entirely, leaning and depending entirely upon him and his desires for your life, desiring more than anything else to carry out his will for your life.
one writer said when he was in the Coast Guard, sometimes the skipper would ask him to steer the boat. He would tell him the compass course, and then his job was to keep the boat on that course. The wind and the currents would cause the boat to drift, but he had that course he was set on, so he would turn, he would steer, and he would get the ship right back on course. Eventually, he would come into sight of a light, and then shortly thereafter, the harbor. One day, he says, we had a call, and there was a terrible storm, and a man and his daughter were out on their sailboat, and it had become disabled, and their lives were in danger. On that occasion, the skipper did not ask him to steer the boat, but gave the task to a more experienced man. It is relatively easy to steer the boat in calm seas, but it's altogether different when the storms and the winds and the waves are beating against your ship. And this morning, what is the message James has for us? It's simply this. When you begin to face storms in your life, learn to ask. Learn to ask. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.